Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au and we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right. Well, it is great to have Pastor Richard Green with us, and a real privilege and an honor. And Richard, there's many things I love about Richard. Three things I'll share with you tonight. Number one is that I love the fruit of his ministry all over the world, in Australia in particular, but no more noticeable than in his own family. And we love Kathy. Don't know the kids so well, but I've seen evidence of the fruit of Richard and Kathy in their kids. So love the fruit all over the world, but no more importantly than at home. I love the fact that Richard is a Holy Spirit-filled intellectual. He's one of the sharpest minds that I've come across. It's always stimulating, and in the Pentecostal world, it's refreshing, but he's a Holy Ghost man through and through, and I love that. And I love the fact that a few months ago, he posted on Facebook, he was playing trumpet in a concert of over 20,000 people. Was that backing Midnight Oil? And so, you know, Richard pops up all over the place, even in Facebook. So why don't you stand and welcome Richard as he comes to minister tonight.
Thank you. You can take a seat. It's fabulous to be here. I love Canberra. Honestly, I mean, you have seasons here. It's just really, I do. I really love Canberra. I really love Canberra. My wife loves Canberra too. My kids love Canberra. What are we doing living in Sydney? But it's wonderful to be here with you. And you probably don't need to be told this, but you've got two of the most genuine, loving, sacrificial, giving pastors that you could ever get. And they've spoken so highly of all around the place. They're just awesome. I've had many conversations, deep conversations with your pastors, and I feel that there's a deep bond. And I'm not just saying that. And I appreciate them so greatly. And thank you for the great honour of speaking tonight. Well, uncharted waters. Jonah. I feel like my whole life has been one big uncharted journey. And the Lord takes you on, like, we don't decide to go on an uncharted journey. He uses circumstances. The thing that I love about God is even when we make the dumbest decisions, the most rebellious decisions, he gets hold of us and thrusts us in a totally different direction and messes us up all the time, working with us. And even through our biggest blunders, what happens out of his great, incredible mercy, he turns it upside down and does way more than you could even done, even if you were perfect. That's what freaks the heck out of me. Like, really? Really? I mean, sometimes I'm standing places and I think, what the heck? Like, I'm sleeping in a tiny little room in Baghdad. And I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing in Baghdad? Like, how on earth did I get here? Like, I think everything I've done is uncharted. Now, we could take great pride and say, oh, I'm an uncharted person. Well, the truth is, I'm not. By nature, I'm very reserved. I like my own company. The truth of the matter is, I'm so difficult to live with. Me, I'm enough work, let alone trying to manage others. But God takes you on a strange journey. You know, Steve mentioned the Midnight Oil thing. Like, I'm sitting on a plane flying to Moldova, carrying a whole lot of cash, cleared through AUSTRAC, by the way, to try to get into the hands of our church planters in Tajikistan who are going to plant in Iran. So I'm thinking, how are we going to do this for a startup? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I've been on the plane so much. I hate it when you fly the same month because you see the same movies. And the flights I do are very long. And I've seen, and some of the movies today are just rubbish. Like this, you know, sheesh. Occasionally you'll get a good one. And so I thought, oh, I'll flick it through. And then I saw this thing called 1984. Well, it's the film about Midnight Oil. So I put on the thing on the plane and I'm sitting there listening to it going, yeah, I remember 1984. And I thought, I had an out-of-body experience. I'm looking at that going, that's me. I'm on that movie. I'm in the movie. That's me. That's a 25-year-old me. Flap. I must have swallowed a tuba. Look at me now. Like it's No, it was really a very, very strange experience. Like profoundly strange. And it was like God apprehended me and thought, see, you didn't have a clue about where you would end up in life. The truth of the matter is not one single person here knows where you will end up. But God does. And out of his amazing mercy, I'll tell you what happened, how I got from there to here. Because in many ways, I'm a little bit like Jonah. Do you know, I've been to Nineveh. You know where Nineveh is? That's Mosul. That's where ISIS was. Guess what we've got? We've got a church near Mosul, near Nineveh, a C3 church. What the? You know what his name is? Ali Muhammad. It's a very Christian name. Only this year I was with him again, Ali Muhammad. Ali Muhammad came to faith through Christ, through our church plant in Baghdad. And that's weird. Now, Ali Muhammad was an imam and a mullah for an ISIS mosque. He trained the guys that... And of his brothers, there's only five left because two of them were ISIS terrorists, suicide bombers. So they blew themselves to smithereens. Ali Muhammad has a fatwa on him. That basically means you get a reward if you kill him. Ali Muhammad is now our church planter in North Iraq, C3. And he's proud to call it C3 because he feels part of a bigger family. I'm with Ali Muhammad and he said, would you like to see the village that I came from? I said, why not? So we end up standing. I have got a photo. I wish I should have pulled these out. I've got a photo of Ali Muhammad standing, smiling, next to the jolly mosque that he used to live in the area that there's still radicals. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? This is insane. But I felt as safe as Jonah in the stomach of a whale. I really did feel this is okay. Ali Muhammad, this is just one of a number of stories. Ali Muhammad's daughter, he's got four kids, and his two daughters, one's 17 and one is 15. And both of them speak impeccable English, and they learnt it from satellite television and cartoons. And Helin, his eldest daughter, is my translator. And I've used a lot of translators around the world and she's as good as any translator I've ever met. She's 17. Ali doesn't speak English real well, but we can communicate. He's my friend. I love him to pieces. I really do. And he loves me to pieces. He's my brother. You touch him, I'll smash your face. in a Christian kind of way. Ali Muhammad's daughter, Helin, they live right north, very north. So Mosul, there's Mosul, then there's Erbil and Sulaymaniyya, and then you get the Iranian border. They live right on the corner of the border of Iraq and Iran. So there's a lot of tension between Shia and Sunni. And in that area, there's a dialect called Harami. And the Harami population is 6 million. They've never heard the gospel. So Helen, who speaks English, and her dad, who doesn't speak English but speaks Harami, Helen doesn't speak the dialect of Harami, decide we need to do something about this. There's no gospel for them. There needs to be a Bible. So her and her dad, so a 17-year-old whose English is not her first language, gets an English Bible and sits with her father, and they have completely translated the New Testament and got it printed, a complete New Testament in Harami for 6 million people. Do not despise young people, because they can do unbelievable things. Malak, who's 15, is Farid, who's in Baghdad. He's my interpreter in Baghdad. 15. He's flipping awesome. And they're translating C3 music into Arabic. Yeah, it's something else, I can tell you. It is awesome. Last, I was there, I forget when it was, it wasn't that long ago. We baptized 16 Muslim converts. I was in the water with them. And every single one of them, every single one, from the youngest who was about 8 to the eldest who was about 84, a woman who'd been a Muslim all her life, covered head to toe, all of them, the 16, when they came out of the water, they burst out of the water speaking in tongues. They didn't need a class. It was unbelievable. And I'm not exaggerating. Now, I could just stand here and tell you story after story of absolutely supernatural things that are occurring. The things that I have got have had the privilege to see are phenomenal. I have no doubt that Jesus is real, because of what I see Jesus having done in the lives of people who risk their life. It's just absolutely staggering. But how on earth did I get there in the first place? Do you know, I'm very grateful to the Lord, because He, even when we refuse and turn our back on what He's asking us to do, and sometimes it's for sheer fear. So I don't believe that Jonah was a bad person. I just think he was a freaked out person. He's going, flipping heck, Nineveh. That's a big place. And I think sometimes we kind of go like this, imagining that God can't see that we're not really... we're trying to sneak off the scene. So Jonah starts to try to sneak off the scene. He goes down to Tarshish. Do you know what happened to me? I got born again. I was radically born again and filled with the Spirit. I was a musician, a professional musician, and it was my life. But on the inside, I was terribly miserable. I had a drug and alcohol issue. My conversion was pretty radical. And I got born again. It was awesome. And then I fell in love with this beautiful woman who's not the woman I'm married to now. And I felt the Lord, if I'm really honest, well, no. I am honest. I knew in my heart of hearts that I wasn't really in love, but I was in love with the idea of being in love. And there was something unreconciled on the inside of me. which was I was trying to be a saviour to a very broken person. And I knew what God was saying. The Lord said very clearly, I knew, he said, do not marry her. But I was frightened. Maybe you won't get somebody else. Maybe. And so I ignored it. I proposed. Then the balls get rolling. You start here and you move away from what God is saying. I knew in my heart of hearts I didn't need a word from God. You know, sometimes you don't need a word from God, you just know. You jolly well know. Deeply know. So I turn away and I knew I was turning away because I was getting worse, because what God had delivered me from, I started to draw upon again. So I started to drink and take drugs and medicate myself. And do you know, the wedding dress was paid for. The invitations had gone out. The honeymoon was paid for. I was heading this way. And just prior to that, in fact, it reminded me when I sat and watched that, I played with Midnight Oil, toured with Midnight Oil. When you hear the Power and the Passion, that's I'm on that. I remember playing to crowds of 60,000. It was really heady. It was incredible. But that was right at the time that I was doing this. And in the midst of that, what happened was I had been also doing another show, which I won't bore you with the details, but musicians muck around a bit. So someone decided that they would muck around and put a 2-cent coin in my trumpet as a bit of a joke. I was a brass player. So I used to work with international people who would come. It was my life. I was born again, had been set free, but I had said, ignored what God had said. And someone put a 2-cent coin in my trumpet as a joke. They probably thought I'd pick the trumpet up, blow, the coin would roll out, we'd all have a bit of a laugh. But the coin didn't roll out, the coin got stuck and it turned sideways. So instead of there being a hole which you could blow air through, there was no hole. So I went to blow and blow fiercely and my throat exploded. And you, if you get close enough, you'll see the scar. But boy, I'm stubborn. Jonah was stubborn. Really stubborn. I ended up 5 days in intensive care, nearly killed me. After I came out of that, I'm still engaged. The thing's moving ahead. I know what God's saying. But I knew things were not right because on the inside I'd started to revert back to my old ways. I was still a believer. See, Jonah still believed in God. He hadn't denied God. He was just doing everything he could to get out of the way because he didn't want to make the hard decision. So, you know what I did? If you look on that, on that Midnight Oil thing, I think, flippin' heck, that's that brace I made. I was so stubborn, I thought, I'm going to keep playing, even with a hole in my throat after the big operation. So I had a brace made of this fiberglass stuff. But I knew all the time God was asking me to do something, and I was running. And you know that thing around my neck, shortly after that, that was the last time I did anything public. Because what happened was that me trying to keep going caused massive damage to my spine and I lost the use of my hands. And that was it. Kaput. Finished. My career. Goodbye. No more. Done. That shock, so painful was that loss that it forced me to make the decision I should have made a long time ago, which was to call the marriage off. And I did. And it was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Do you know the story about Jonah? He's not that happy about what happens at the end, by the way. He's actually pretty ticked. And you know, sometimes when you get ticked and knocked about like that, you distort the word of God. In fact, he takes the expression of the character of God and uses it almost against God. I was like that, saying, God, you know, I blah, 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 blah. And I can remember when I lost the use of my hand, what happened? Firstly, I lost the use of my fingers on this hand, and I thought, I'll blow that, I'll keep going. I'll play left-handed. So I was playing left-handed. Then all of a sudden, my left-handed stopped. And I remember where I was in a jazz festival in Mildura. And the pain was so severe, I took so much alcohol to try to blunt the pain, I slid into the hotel room. And I said, God, what are you doing? And I opened the drawer and thought, there better be a Bible in this place. And I opened, there was a Gideon's Bible. And I flicked it open and said, God, what are you doing? And I read Hebrews. And you know what it said? It said, stand up, walk straight, repent. It was a paraphrase version. So that your dislocated limbs would be healed. Okay. Now, from that, a whole series of things happened. And I ended up running halfway houses and then becoming a pastor. I never intended to be a pastor, by the way. I still don't intend to be a pastor. But, you know, in the mercy of that, in God's mercy, and the two things I would like to suggest to you for a second, the two things that come out in the book of Jonah, number one is God's sovereignty, and that God is in control. And the second thing is God's mercy. Look at who he's merciful to. He's merciful to Jonah. He's merciful to the Ninevites. And he's merciful to the sailors. The mercy of God is so huge. And the word mercy is very similar to the word kindness. You know, Steve, I was sitting here and I was listening. I was quite distracted because I was saying, Lord, what are you saying to this church? And I heard the Lord say something. And it came through your voice, Angela. And it came from me looking at Brody. Is it Brody? But I heard coming from your voice it was sweet. You've got a very beautiful voice, a unique voice. It's not your normal run-of-the-mill voice. It's beautiful, actually. It's, and the Lord said to me, there's kindness in her voice. And then the Lord said to me, there is purity and holiness in this young man. And the Lord spoke to me and said, there is going to be a revival of purity, innocence in this house. There's going to be a massive revival of purity and innocence. Now, who are the most pure and innocent people? Children. And what happens? What's the expression of purity and innocence in children? Playfulness. You're going to enter a season of playfulness and joy. And it's going to come easy. Kids play easy. And I felt something, I don't know, you'll have to weigh this up, but I reckon, I felt the Lord say to me there's going to be a significant shift in about 7 weeks. Now, I don't normally go down that close, but 7 weeks, I feel like there's going to be, and I saw a whole lot of families coming and staying. The young families, little kids. You're going to have to get ready for a lot of noise during your services. You're going to have to make room. But there's a purity and a wonder. Angela, are you a nurse? What do you do? Oh, you work with children. Okay. I thought you worked with children. I didn't want to say that, so I thought I'll go for a nurse because there's always kids in hospitals. So I think there's something about your voice, and it's not your voice actually, it's something about here that's really special. The Lord is going to use you. I feel like something's happening, and it's an expression that's coming from here. There's definitely a purity and innocence. Now, you probably don't think that you're that pure and innocent. You probably think you're a bit naughty. In fact, you are naughty. You are very naughty. Is this your husband? She's a little bit naughty. In the stubbornness department. The naughtiness that you have is that sometimes you need to stop. You don't stop enough. You give yourself a lot to a lot of people. And right at this moment, there's a season in your life where you're a little bit weary. So you just need to pull back a tad. Don't stop. Just pull back a tad. It's really important. Right at the moment, you kind of, no one will know this, but you kind of feel like you've lost your way a little bit. You feel like you had a key and you're kind of, the key's not working so well. So there's a feeling that you have to use more effort than what you used to. The Lord wants to bring back an ease and a flow. On the external, we hear that, but internally there's something happening. There are some unreconciled issues that go deep for you. And that's one of the reasons why you actually love kids, because you want kids to have an easy road. But there's some attention that needs to be looked at for yourself. You need to be kind to yourself, just as you are kind to others. And if you're kind to yourself, you'll be a little bit less stubborn. And the Lord says to you, shut up. So I do feel, there's something happening. I do. And it has to do with purity and holiness. I believe there's going to be a lifting of hearing and seeing. There's going to come a greater clarity of your focus. Because Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. And I think there's an immense restorative work. The restorative work is finished. It's done. Now, in comes the purity and innocence, and out of that will come the playfulness. That's what I see. But all of us, and this is uncharted territory. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says this, the wisest man says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealthy, to the brilliant or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to all. Do you know what that means? Uncharted waters are coming to all of you. So just, you can't stop it, just get ready for it. You know, we think that we can pray our way through things, we can read the Bible through things, we can get smart enough, but the truth of the matter is, most of us don't have a clue. We're just throwing ourselves upon our beautiful Lord and Saviour. I think, my Lord, what would have I been doing if I was still playing trumpet? And do you know the truth of it is, when I watched that, it was really a weird thing, because only about 4 weeks before, I was thinking, you know, my mum's very old, and she was the one who backed me under immense pressure. And I thought, there's not one photo of me or one video that I can show Mum when I was younger playing. I was such an idiot. Look, I didn't think that stuff was important because I thought it would go on forever. Now, I've got recordings and stuff where I play on albums and all that stuff, but that's not the same. So I had been thinking, Lord, I wonder if somebody would have ever taken film that somehow I could get hold of. And here I am. Oh, it's only just thinking it. And here I am sitting on the plane, bored. Because I didn't want to watch the whole thing about Peter Garrett and how political he was and all that. But they were wild days. We were radical. Like, we were really radical. You think about 70,000 nuclear warheads at the time. It was, the world was going to go bang. Forget about all that. We were playing in clubs. We were playing in uni clubs that were built, rooms that were built for 300, and there were 1,500 people in them. The floors were bending. There was water falling out off the roof because of the sweat and condensation. You're touching microphones and getting electric shocks. You had all sorts of stuff going on. It was wild. And I'm watching this thinking, and I was just thinking, if only I could show Mum, if there was just one photo of me playing, that would just bring such joy to my old mum. And I'm thinking, what? Hey, that's the 25-year-old Richard. Like, and that does things to you. Because, you know, we move forward not necessarily with great joy. Sometimes we move forward with, I wish I was still like that. I wish I was the 25-year-old body in my experience right now. Praise Jesus. You know, my son is, he's very thin and handsome. And I say, William, this is your future. And he says, no way, Dad. I said, well, we'll see. Uncharted territory. But, you know, because of the mercy of God, because of the mercy of God, you can't run from the mercy of God. Jonah couldn't run from the mercy of God. And so it's a powerful story. And it does, this reminds me of these things. God is sovereign. And God will do anything and everything to fulfill his sovereign will. And what is his sovereign will? That none perish. What was Jonah meant to do? He was meant to preach, actually. He was meant, it's the same, we are too. It's called the Great Commission. And when we get caught up with everything else, God will actually let a wind blow. Because his will is for us to engage a world that is without Christ. And so we get so distracted by stuff in church, and we have to weigh in and fight battles and do stuff, and you think, my goodness. So it reminds me of God's great sovereignty. The second thing reminds me, when I ran from God, and when you enter uncharted waters, you behave strangely. You behave strangely, so do other people. But in spite of how they handle uncharted waters, God's mercy is still there for them. So when change comes and uncharted waters come, don't only be merciful to yourself, be merciful to others. Because they are going to start to do weird and strange things. And just remember, you're a weirdo too. And the third thing that it reminds me of is that when we enter uncharted waters, whether it's due to our own character failings or actions or external circumstances, I need to remind myself in uncharted waters, I need to remind myself not what God does, but who God is. Now, you need to pay attention. My wife says this, and she's right. My wife says that whenever God speaks of himself in the scriptures, we need to listen very carefully because he himself is describing himself. And so Exodus 34 verse 6 says this, when he passed in the front of Moses, God said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. I'm slow to anger and rich in unfailing love and faithfulness. The story of Jonah is a story of immense mercy, the mercy of God to a buffhead, and a mercy of God to people who were horrendous, the Ninevites. And it was a story of a mercy, the mercy of God to people who were even seeking other gods, the sailors. There is a wind, and the wind is from the Spirit of the living God. Do you know, I knew something was going on before I blew the hole in my throat. Do you know, for 25 years, I couldn't even listen to music. The grief was so profound. I couldn't. And God took me on an uncharted journey. And this is true. We're about to get into a building for our church. It's a long story. And the thing I thought, there are two people I want to be here at the opening of this building. That's my mum and dad. But they're so frail and old, I thought they won't come. And then I had a thought, Richard, they'll come if you're playing jazz, if you play trumpet. I thought, what? I haven't played for 25 years. So I said to her, we've got some really good musos in our church. In fact, one of our pastors, Tom, never plays. But what a lot of people don't know, he was the principal clarinetist with the Queensland Symph, and he's a jazz pianist. He doesn't like playing worship. He doesn't like playing music. He likes pastoring. I said, look, Tom, we're going to open the building, and I want my mum and dad, and I reckon if I give them the carrot that I'm going to play, they'll come. They may not come for Jesus, but they'll come for jazz. So I said to him, I said to our guys, look, I'm going to try to play trumpet. It's probably going to sound absolutely woeful, but it won't matter because you know what mums are like. Yeah? So I said, okay. I said, we're not going to do any rehearsing. I said, we're going to play 8 jazz standards. These are the jazz standards and these are the keys because I knew they're good enough. I thought this is going to sound as rough as guts. We opened our church. It was the day that we opened our church building. My mum and dad came. Now, my dad was on a journey. My dad had never, ever once said he was proud of me or loved me. My dad was an alcoholic for most of his life. I played trumpet on that day. We opened church. My mum and dad stood there. And my dad came up to me and he said, and I'll tell you exactly what he said. Son, I'm proud of you. This is the bloody best building I've ever seen. My dad, a few years after, passed away, and I was present. And by the time he'd passed away, he had received Christ. He'd actually received Christ a little before that. I had no idea that that would happen. Uncharted territory. Now, God will take all sorts of your experiences and he'll turn them on end. Now, Jonah was interesting because he really did try hard to get away from that, and I tried hard too. Jonah 1 from verse 4 to 6 says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm rose that the ship threatened to break up. The Lord sent a wind. I want to say something to you that's really important. When trouble comes and a storm comes, it may not be the devil, it may be God. You know, it was years later that I realized, out of Psalm 110, spoke to me, David says, it is good for me to be afflicted because I've learnt to walk in the ways of the Lord. It was good for me to have a hole blown in my throat because I learnt to walk in the ways of the Lord. I am not going to say that it was God's desire that I have a hole in my throat, But the Lord will do anything to get your attention, even if it's to be swallowed by a dirty, great big fish. So there's a wind, and you sense it. You know it. Some of you right now know that change is coming. I know you do. Some of you are a bit scared. Well, you should be. Because it's probably going to be unpleasant. And that's the truth. We don't like to hear it. But I tell you, if you can say, okay, Lord, I'm prepared. What will happen on the outside will produce, on the other side will produce immense fruit in your life. Do you know, I had somebody say to me not so long ago, they said, Richard, how do you plant that many churches in that quick a time? I said, I didn't plant them in a quick time. It's taken 30 years. It's a whole, and I really believe that, but it's not me anyway. Like, do you know, really, the truth of the matter was Jonah had no intention. He wasn't going to preach to the Ninevites until God brought a big fish and bathed him up on the beach. Imagine what he would have looked like, all that stomach acid. He was probably white as anything. And like, he's Middle Eastern, they're a bit dark-skinned. He would have come out like, you know, anyway. But there's a wind that comes, and when the wind comes, don't be frightened of the wind. Don't resist the wind. And the other thing, don't ignore it. Do you know what baffles me? Is that Jonah is running so hard from God that even a wind and the boat being about to be sunk is not enough to grab his attention because he goes and has a sleep. You know, you can put yourself in such a state that you will even ignore the wind to such a great deal that you'll shut it down so that you'll even go to sleep. Don't go to sleep when the wind starts to blow. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Be ready. There's something happening. I can feel it. I heard it in your guys' voices. I really did. Oh, my goodness. But it's not your voice that I heard. I heard the Lord through your voice. And that's a very different thing, if that makes sense. You know, it was Andrew who picked me up. And we had a great chat, man. It was just really beautiful. This guy has a heart of gold. It's rough as guts. And just straight down, like the real deal. You know, people, you know what purity is? Purity isn't perfection. If you get a pure diamond out of this untouched, it's not perfect to our eye, but it's perfect because that's how it was created. Its value is in its createdness. So your value is not in what you do, it's actually in your very essence and core. I don't know why God took me on this weird journey, but if somebody had said to me, even 5 years ago, that in the next 5 years there'll be 110 churches. We're up to 111 churches, believe it or not. It's staggering. In some of the most bizarre places. And I think, how on earth does that happen? And it's not me. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God to those people. Do you know the reason why you're here? It's not for you. It's for them. This is about them. The mercy of God being expressed through you to others. That's the story of Jonah. And it's the story of the sovereignty of God. God will use your worst day, your worst hour, your worst experience. He will use it all. And out of that, he will express immense mercy. So difficulties are not just from the devil. You know, there's... And the measure of our success is really important. The measure of our success, we don't measure our success by the level of our desired outcome. but we measure it by the degree to which God has expressed his mercy through us. Mercy and kindness are the currency of heaven. And you can have all size churches, and it's not the size, it's the delivery that's important. And you are called, I believe there's a season, and I believe you've been swallowed by a whale, and you've been barfed up, and now you're headed back to where you're meant to go, which was the salvation of souls. Too much energy on other stuff now. I mean, you stink. Like, you know, I'm a fisherman. My kids won't even let me in the house after I've been fishing. It's over. Because God's sovereign will was always for Jonah to preach, to fulfill the Great Commission, to express the mercy of God. You are now entering a period where you're pure and innocent. And a playfulness is going to come out of this place, which is going to engage the broader community, and people are going to get free, and there's going to be this glorious thing. Something's going to happen in about 7 weeks' time. I don't know what that's connected to, but do not be surprised if all of a sudden there's 3 or 4 families that turn up, and they keep turning up. That'll be an indicator that God is coming, God is moving, God is doing something. You know, let me leave you with this thought. There is a wideness in God's mercy. I mean, you think about it. I'm running the other way. I was being an absolute mongrel. I destroyed a person's life almost by asking her to marry me and then calling it off. It's horrendous. I had to live with that for 4 years after. It was horrendous. Jonah's running away. And yet God still expresses mercy. I didn't deserve it. The wideness of his mercy, not just to Jonah, but to Nineveh. And he keeps expressing mercy to Jonah because Jonah's ticked off with God. He says, hang on, I prophesied this and it didn't happen. I'm pretty cranky with you. I said you're going to destroy Nineveh, and what do? You change your mind and save them. We can be like that. We can say, hey, this was our plan. This was our vision. This is where we were going, and now you've got us over here. What's the go? Come on, God. I was destined to be a trumpet player. I was going to be famous. I was famous. I was going to have this great life. And what? I'm over here? In jolly Baghdad? Like, that's not a tourist destination. How come you don't call me to San Francisco or somewhere like that, you know? Or Switzerland. Oh, I was just in Switzerland, but you know. Like, I get to go to all the glamorous places. But you know, it reminds me all the time of the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Do you know, you're very blessed in this church to have two of the most merciful pastors, the most gracious pastors, and the kindest pastors. And they're nothing like Jonah. Do you know what they're like? They're like the part of Jonah, which is weird. There's a storm. And Jonah says, oh, throw me in the water. Throw me into the mess. Who does that remind you of? If you want to know what the wideness of the mercy of God is, just look up there. That's the wideness of the mercy. While we're running from, he's jumping in too. And I believe that the Lord is going to honor your pastors. And this is not me just making it up on the spot. I just really sense that the Lord is going to honor your pastors because they're nothing like Jonah. they have thrown themselves sacrificially into the storm. And the outworking of that will be thousands, thousands, thousands. Not hundreds, thousands. Thousands will come to know Christ. Maybe they might not see it in their own life. Maybe they will. But thousands. That's how wide the mercy of God is. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. But that is even not wide enough. The real measure of wideness of the mercy of God is that of the outstretched arms of our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross to die for salvation. That is the wideness of God's mercy. And that cannot be measured by any other form of sacrifice. And so how can we, who've known the mercy and benefit and benefited from it, be less than merciful to others? How can we do less than love and carry the gospel to them? How can we use anything less than all of us? Our energy, our emotions, our will. There is a great touch of God on you. Sorry, I've forgotten your name. Sam, sorry, Sam. You have been through the ringer. I don't know what's happened, but you've had to face some things. You've had to choose friends over other friends. You've been cut out of things. Is that right? Okay. You've only just begun. Only just begun. Okay. You know, what's your name? Sorry. Matt. You are such a good guy. I just want to sit on your lap. I feel really comfortable with you. I only have to look at you and I feel, comfortable. God is going to use you. I want to say something to you. I don't want to freak you out. I see pastor. Now, pastor is not a title. Pastor is a gift and a function. You don't have to be full time to be a pastor. You carry it. There's a shepherd's heart in you. There's a strength in you too, by the way. You don't like any nonsense. Keep it up. God doesn't like wishy-washy. He likes full on. That's really good. God's going to do something wonderful in you. At the moment... This is weird. I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is preaching or talking or telling stories or whatever. All right. Can you hold each other's hand? You're married, yeah? That's good. Your marriage is good. It's going to get better, though. You've had a few kind of tensions, I reckon. And all it is you just need to tune in a little, that's all. It's nothing wrong. Nothing at all wrong. Just lower the bar a bit. It's okay, just... Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. But I could tell you, all I can do is I just want to get hold of you and kiss you and hug you. Like both of you. And the reason is I'm feeling this immense love from God for you. I think God is really proud of you. There was a time when there were people that should have been more proud of you, weren't proud of you. And there was a season where you hurt pretty bad, really bad, and I can feel it. And all I want to say is I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It should not have happened. But I can tell you, You've been touched by God so profoundly that what's in front of you is pretty big. You're entering uncharted territory. But I've got to tell you, the end point of the uncharted journey is pretty cool. Would you, everyone, just stand and just lift your hands heavenward? Just lift your hands heavenward. I'm going to pray for something very specific. You can just relax. You don't have to, if holding your hands up is brings tension, don't do that. Just relax. I'm going to pray. I want to pray that when you sleep tonight, the Lord will speak to you in your dreams. You may never have had a dream before. Tonight, I want you to get a little notebook out and a pen. Would you do this? I'm being real. Yeah? Notebook and a pen. Put it next to your bed table. Because I'm praying and believing that God will speak prophetically to you through dreams. And He's going to speak so profoundly and deeply. Lord, would You come by Your Spirit and speak to Your people? Lord, this is a beautiful, 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 beautiful tribe and a beautiful family. One that can express mercy. And so, Lord, I pray as they sleep tonight, You'd speak to them powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can grab a seat. I have to finish. Look, I want to prophesy for all of you, but I do expect God to speak to you. There is something. Do you know what I want to do? I want to tell them to stop that, because I just want to keep going. No. I want to, that is beautiful. It's beautiful. There's a beauty in this place. Watch out. Oh, Lord loves you deeply. You rascal. You troublemaker. You've got such an inquisitive mind. You're a risk taker. You're going to travel a lot. Canberra will be your base, but you will travel a lot. And you'll carry with you the word of grace. You're on an immense journey. The next few years, my goodness, you're going to look different. Everything's going to be different. And people will be surprised. Yeah, it's not the same guy. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to finish. Thank you, Lord. Just so grateful. What a beautiful place.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.